If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to Barrow Cup News on Tuesday, the 9th of September, 2025. Sorry, it's a bit late there. I've had a sort of busiest day with results. And then, obviously, I've sort of finished input the results about 1 o'clock. Right, should I do a podcast now? No, have some lunch, take the dog for a walk. Came back, and then this guy came around to look at our drive, to redo our drive, so I spent a half an hour with him. Then I picked my son up from work experience, and then I thought, I'll have some food. So, it was 6:30. So it's 5 to 7. Bit of macro news. By the way, walking's going well. Did another sort of 70 minutes a day. My press-ups now, if you're probably not interested, but I'm up to 4 sets of 40 press-ups a night and 4 sets of 40 curls. So 160 press-ups a night I do, 5 days a week. I'm aiming to get to 50. So then I do 200 a day. It's 1,000 a week, hopefully, to get body beautiful by the time I'm 55. Yeah. It's hard work, though. My arms and shoulders are hurting. But I thought, no pain, no gain, as I say, which is truthful, really. If your muscles aren't working hard, they're not going to expand, are they? And, of course, if you build a bigger muscle, it increases metabolism. So there we are. Anyway, macro news. The US created 911,000 fewer jobs than thought in a year to March. So the US economy added fewer jobs than initial estimates had suggested in the year through March. The routine annual report, a revision to payrolls data, showed that the jobs market has been growing at a slower pace than previously thought at the end of the Biden administration in the first few months of Trump administrations. Economists had anticipated a large downward revision, but the weaker than expected figures bolstered concerns about the health of the world's largest economy. Federal Reserve is closely watching for signs of softness in jobs market ahead of its meeting next week. The U.S. Central Bank is expected to lower interest rates after holding rates steady for this year so far. Yeah. Last week, the Labor Department reported that employers added just 22,000 jobs in August, fewer than the 75,000 expected. And unemployment has gone up from 4.2% to 4.3%. Oh. And just looking at the markets here. Just teetering on the edge there. They're trying to break. It's odd, isn't it? I mean, it's based on, bad news is good news, because the S&P 500 is pretty much at an all-time high. The Nasdaq is up a fifth of 1% right now, 6,508. The Nasdaq is also up a fifth of 1% to 21,839. This is rolling over. This has got to roll over. I don't care if the Fed comes to the rescue. What you don't want is a weaker economy. I can't see these jobs numbers getting any better. And, it's not going to stimulate enough, is it? I mean, it may boost the market a little bit, but is it really going to help employers? As soon as the Fed lowers the rates by a quarter or half of 1%, our employers are now going to say, okay, let's take on more people. It doesn't work like that. There's the jobs, very much a lagging indicator. It takes a long time to sort of start preparing, to recruit people. It costs a lot of money, it takes a lot of time. So I think the jobs did. The real economy, I think, will pull down the market a little bit. Because, let's be honest, these interest rate reductions are in the market now. they're expected. That's why, as yet, the market hasn't really rolled over. But I think if we see a worsening jobs picture, I think it will roll over. What does that say for us? Well, you know, American markets, we do follow them. You know, America sneezes, we catch a cold, that kind of thing. But all you can do, like I said, you know what, if you get caught up in too much macro, and you'll just be in and out of stocks all day. So you can't really do that. All you can do is try and buy companies doing well. And that's it. Focus on the micro. And, you know, and as always, in any market, try and pick up, you know, good businesses at a good valuation that are they're doing well, i.e. growing and expecting to grow. That's all you can do. Like I said, if you invest from a macro point of view, you'd probably never invest. You'd always be bearish. Always. You know, it's very rare you'll say, oh, the entire global economy is doing well. It doesn't. There's always wars. There's always worries about, what, inflation or debt. There's always that out there. And if you go down that rabbit hole and just, you know, think from a macro point of view, you'd never invest in any business. But yet, many businesses do very well. Even in downturns and recessions, some do very, very well. And if a company is undervalued and it's doing very well, then, you know, the downside is pretty much supported a little bit. Anyway, let's look at the rest of the market, shall we? Dow Jones is up 0.5%, actually. Is that an all-time high? Yeah, all-time high. So NASDAQ, S&P, and the Dow Jones, an all-time high. That's just ridiculous, isn't it? Doesn't make any sense to me. What about the Russell 2000 is down 0.6%. So still, though, is it an all-time high? No, it was higher back in November 24, but it's close to it. That's the small cap index in America. Let's have a look over here. The FTSE 100 closed at 9,242. That is up 0.25%, but it's not at the all-time high. So the all-time high is 9,320, and we're at 9,242. Small cap index in the UK, down a fourth, half, 0.4%. Let's say that. 7,094. FTSE, 250, down, 0.4%, 21,596. What else we got here? I'm on the right. I'm not the right. I thought I couldn't see enough indices. Sorry, I wasn't on the right sort of directory there. I looked at the wrong thing. What else we got? The fledgling down 0.6%. AMOL share down 0.25% again. 7.68. Commodities: Brent crude down 0.5%. $66.47 a barrel. Gold, surprise, surprise, up again, all-time high. When you've got the indices in America all-time high and gold regarded as a safe haven, it's an all-time high, doesn't really chime, does it? Doesn't work out. What about copper? Copper's up 0.25%. And Bitcoin, that's down, see? Bitcoin is a risk asset now. Still struggling to break that. It's popped up twice to 113,000, which is a recent sort of resistance level. It's got to break that. It's now down to 111,000. It was getting close to that yesterday and even today early on, but it's not doing it. Government bonds, 2-year yield, flat, 3.9%. The 10-year is at up 0.5% to 4.6. And the 30-year, it's up 0.1% to 5.4%. A pound will buy you €1.15, it'll buy you $1.35. Okay, I'm going to pick just three stocks from the MarketCap database. Now, remember, every stock I talk about now is profitable, okay? So if you're looking for profitable microcaps or small caps, this is the place to come, sharepickers.com. They're all, why do I only focus on those? Because they are long-term, they're the best performers, and in the short-term, they're less risk. You know, one of the biggest risks a company can have is funding risk. If they haven't got cash or they run out of cash, then to raise that money, that's always a risk. How they're going to do it? If you know, they could take on debt if they're earning money, or normally if they're loss making, they'll do it via equity, and that means, you know, momentum in the share price will take a hit because they'll normally have to raise equity at a discount to the market, and of course they're diluting existing shareholders. So remove that risk. Just get rid of it. Don't worry. You know, investing is hard enough. You know, having to try and pick, you know, decent companies. that are going to win. So avoiding just one obvious risk is obvious, isn't it? Because investing, of course, is not all about picking winners, but avoiding losers. In fact, it's about avoiding losers first and foremost, because you're only as good as your biggest loser in your stock, so in your portfolio. So if you can avoid losers and therefore picking better risk-reward plays, you'll do better. Anyway, let's pick three companies. I've added seven companies today on the database at sharepickers.com. You can see those. But I'll go with, in alphabetical order, first of all, Gulf Marine Services. GMS is ticker. A company listed on the stock exchange, of course, founded in Abu Dhabi in 1977, has become a world-leading provider of advanced, self-propelled, self-elevating support vessels. The fleet services the offshore energy industries from its offices in United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the United Kingdom. So at 17 pence a share, market cap 193 million, enterprise value 338. Yeah. So the last set of results, they had 29 million of cash, 174 million of debt. And in fact, that has come down. That's net debt, by the way. So net debt at the moment. In fact, let's go through the figures here. Let's just go through the figures. Get my comments here. So H1 results, these are 2025. Revenue up 8%, 64.4 million. This is for the half year, of course. Profit before tax, 12.4 million versus 7.3, up 70%. But net profit down 46% to 2.9 million versus 5.5. Net debt, 129 million. Versus 145, so it's improved by 11%. That's still, a decent chunk of debt, isn't it? Free cash flow, 20.9 million versus 29.1, so down 28%. Forecasts are for revenue to go up by 10% to 136.5 million for the year, for 2025. And net profit up by 2% at 28.9. At 17 pence a share, it's a PE of 6, but due to the debt, it's an EV earnings ratio of 11. 2026, revenue up, forecast to be by 9% to 148.6 million. Net profit up 18% to 34 million. At 17 pence a share, PE of 5, and EV earnings of 10. However, GMS are paying down debt, so this EV enterprise value could improve. And now, if they hit these numbers, I think 2026, including debt reduction, I can see some upside here. However, the sector they operate in has a lot of moving parts. Let's be honest, the price of oil, all that stuff, the investment by oil companies, all that stuff. And they did state ongoing operational and market challenges, including recent geopolitical tensions, have slightly affected H1. So worth keeping an eye on, trading updates to confirm progress on track, but not decent, apart from the balance sheet. But like I said, they do have a plan to reduce that debt. Not bad. They're getting top line growth for 25, 10%, net profit up 2%, and for 26, top line up 9, net profit up 18. So there's a bit of double-digit growth in there, and it's not expensive, apart from that debt. If they bring that down, I can see it doing well. It's never going to be highly rated, because it's obviously linked to the oil and gas industry to a certain extent, but nevertheless, it can improve. On a balance sheet wise, and like I said, there's some growth there. So, it's maybe one worth watching. Let's look at the chart a second. GMS. Yeah, it took a bit of a dive today, down 7% or 7.7%. But it seems to be a bit of a messy chart here. It's a good run-up from, when was it? From May 23, it was at 4.7 pence. And it went up to 24 pence by April 24, a year later. But now it's in this sort of messy trading range. And it seems to be a resistance level around about 19 pence, 19.5. Maybe some support at around 15 pence. So there you go. What's next? Let's have a look what's next. Likewise Group. Let's look at that. Is a distributor, ticker's Like, distributor of floor coverings and matting, and has the opportunity to consolidate the domestic and commercial floor covering markets to become one of the UK's largest distributors in the sector. Tony Brewer, CEO, holds 11.44%. Yeah, but you should be saying that in your description of the company. Has the opportunity to consolidate the domestic and commercial floor coverings markets. Well, I suppose, you know, most companies in your sector do. But will they do it? Can they do it? That's the thing, isn't it? So, at 28 pence a share, where do they where do they go today? I think they rose today. Yeah, they did. Oh, no, they went up and came back down. But they had a good rise yesterday on some news about, I think it was, Newport? They've extended their Newport sort of warehouse or something. Is that this company? Am I thinking of the right company? Let's have a look. I'm sure I've read that for some company. Newport planning permission granted. They will add 20,000 square feet to the existing 35,000 square feet. So adding over 60-70%. Creating a 55,000 square foot distributor hub. Of course, but, you know, capital intensive, I suppose, in the warehouses. But nevertheless, it's going to help them, I suppose. Consider the return on capital, that's all. Anyway, at 28 pence, market cap of 68 million, enterprise value 75. And this was the H1 results, the 30th of 6, 2025. They do have net debt there. That's all my comments here. Revenue, H1. 77.9 million versus 70.7, up 10%. Net profit of 229K versus net loss of 329K. Net debt of 7.78 million versus 7.15. And free cash flow of 2.9 versus outflow of 1.9. So that's improved. Forecast 25. Revenue up 7%, 160 million. Net profit of 2.2 million versus 774K. So these numbers are an improvement, but 24 pence a share puts them on a forecast PE of 31. So I don't think that's particularly cheap for a low-margin business in an industry that's, you know, struggling, unless they do consolidate the market and they become one of the big players there. But it's easier said than done, isn't it, that? So, that's sort of the... Yeah, it's at a recent high. In fact, resistance... there's resistance at this sort of 28 pence level. It's spiked out at this level before, back in May 23. So if it can break that, it'd be positive. But, yeah, fundamentally, I know lag. And finally, what should I do? Liseco or Somero? In fact, Somero, it's going to take a while to recover that. They do those laser sort of machines for screening. Cement screening, you know, flat screen cement floors. But Luceco, I don't know if I'm saying that right, LUC is ticker, is a leading designer and manufacturer of residential and commercial electrification products and systems. The group designs and manufactures this market-leading range of wiring accessories, EV chargers, LED lighting, and portable power products at its state-of-the-art manufacturing facilities, distributing them through professional, wholesale, and retail. Professional, wholesale, and retail. Anyway, 130 a share. They got a market cap of 195 million. Enterprise value of 263. Should have got a bit of debt. These are H1 results as well. Let's scroll down, see what I'm saying. Okay, these are the H1 financial highlights. Revenue up 15%, 125.7 million. Net profit down 4%, 6.6 million. Net debt up 75% to 67.6 million. Apparently, they did do a couple of acquisitions. Free cash flow of 13.2 million versus outflow of 8.7. So, forecast for 25, revenue to be up by 1%. So, I'm assuming they're going to have a softer second half to 262 million. Net profit up by 29% to 18.9. At 130 a share, it's forecast P of 10, but due to their debt, it's an EV earnings of 14. Their net profit, by the way, on this forecast are adjusted. I assume adjusted for those acquisitions. So it might be greater than the reported profit, which the broker doesn't state. I wish brokers, I appreciate the notes, they're enlightening, educational. But please, if you could, give the adjusted and reported, if you could, please? Because I know you have that number somewhere. Of course you do. But so please, you know, choose to put them both in rather than just the one which tends to be more flattering. So 2026, revenue up 4% to 271.9 million. Net profit up 11% again, which I say again is double digit, to 21 million. At 130 a share, forecast P/E of 9 and EV earnings of 13. Again, that may be a bit flattering, the net profit. But I think this could be a decent recovery play, especially if they start to reduce their debt. They don't state they are, and they've got $120 million revolving credit facility. So they open to more acquisitions. But I'd say, let's try and reduce the debt a little bit first, yeah? But if they reduce their debt, because they're quite big into EV charging. Now, the EV charging makes up about 23% of their revenue, and it is a growing market. So maybe some potential there. So maybe with a look of Lucheco, but concerning about that debt, that's all. But there is growth in profit there, but that's on an adjusted basis. It'd be nice to see what the actual reported numbers are. Anyway, that's it. Thanks for listening. Don't forget, if you want to see, you know, profitable micro-cap and small-cap companies, in fact, 60 ideas now in the Microcap League, doubled the size of it, and these are companies ranked for quality on basically, you know, growth, value, health, momentum, all that on the Microcap League. And of course, the significant news highlights, companies releasing significant news rather than just loads of RNSs, but stuff you don't want to read. There's a database as well with over 300 companies, Microcap, small cap companies, where you see financial summaries, the metrics, forecasts, broker comments, the news, chart, and my comments. And that's all for less than £3 a week, ladies and gentlemen. Can you believe that? Really? Less than £3? Yes. Anyway, have a nice day. Sorry it's late today. I'll try and be on time tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Much as appreciated. Speak to you tomorrow.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.